Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
And that is the sound of Jeff Bezos, the CEO and president of Amazon, laughing hysterically at the holiday season numbers.
Tech Talk.
And we are Tech Talk. This is Michael, Tech Talk. Yeah, so I've got Dave Sparky Saganaki sitting across the seat from me.
And Michael Tech Talk Kassler over there, of course.
See, and we don't have our interstitial music now, and because I played Jeff Bezos.
That's enough. That's our new intro. Why is he laughing?
We'll just keep that going for the whole show.
Why do you think he's laughing?
He's happy. He's excited. It was a great holiday season for the Amazon crew over there. I heard some of their numbers were they were up 7% or something like that. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I apologize. Somebody out there, I'm sure, has got them. Maybe you can Twitter it to me or something.
But they're up when everybody else is down.
They are up. Everyone else is down this holiday season. But if you were
overall, yeah, the other online stores were down. On an average of about 1%, I know.
Yes.
So Amazon being up is a good thing.
Yeah. I heard 1-2% somewhere around there, and so Amazon being up, Amazon, they're saying is leading the tech sector, maybe in a little bit of a mini revival here for our stocks as we come into the new year, and hopefully that's true. That was not the sound of a truck going through the
sorry.
That's all right. It's the quality equipment that we keep in our station here that.
That adds to the charm.
Exactly.
The sonic ambiance.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, and if you're watching on justin.tv/WRLR, you'd see Dave
squirming over here.
I'm moving around.
I'm itching, scratching.
I'm stripping.
Chewing gum. Yeah.
It's hot. I'm stripping for the camera. It is. It is warm. It's crazy warm.
Corner guys are like big.
Yes.
So they like warm up the room for
us. Yeah,
they're great big muscular guys.
Normally I like it. My seat has got all that gut warmth too, I guess, but mainly butt warmth. It's all nice and toasty and cozy in here.
Yeah.
And all that. But now it's 60. It's gonna be 61. I heard.
Is it really? I just wish it stopped raining for a little bit so I could ride the motorcycle.
I'd like to get out and jog too. J Street Jesse. He and I are chat back and forth occasionally about our running.
I didn't know Jesse was a jogger.
Oh gosh, yeah. He's hardcore. He's right. far more into it than I am. He's big in the marathons and all the other good stuff. And he's been out already. He was saying that he's going to have to cut. He was going to do his long run today. He does a couple long runs a week, but with the rain, he said, forget it. He's going to.
Yeah. With this rain, 2 and 3 foot snowbanks have been washed away.
Yes. All of the effort and time that I spent
shoveling
and throwing things aside, I should just let it sit.
Yeah. You know? Well, no. Something could happen in the interim.
That's true.
Slip and fall. It was pretty nasty yesterday. Yesterday morning, was it?
Yeah.
There was slippery highways and such and driveways.
And I had to make a path for the relatives coming in and all that. I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas and all that.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah.
How was yours, Dave?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Any cool new tech toys and gadgets?
The Creative X-Fi, I got one of those.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't have an in-depth review. I only use MP3 players for one thing. I load them up with mystery music and then let them play random forever.
Yep.
But this one, it sounds good. The size is amazing. I got the 32 gig version, which translates to like 30 gigs. And a solid state drive is a lot more reliable and quiet than doesn't vibrate at all. The thing's the size, like less than half the size of a remote control. And it's got all your music in it. Well, not all of my music, but a lot of music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just astounding. I haven't had a new MP3 player in about 4 years.
So. Wow. Oh, so this is a real upgrade then for you. Yeah.
Well, the old one, it works fine, and I'm happy with it pretty much, but it's solid-state drive.
And 4 years ago, I mean, you were talking, you know, 1 gig to 4 gig drives were...
For solid-state, yeah.
For kind of...
Well, no, but this is a hard drive-based MP3 player. It's an old Creative Zen.
Okay.
From years ago, and it's pretty cool. But and at the time, I marveled at the size. But now you put the new one next to it, and it's so much smaller and lighter.
No comparison. No, the X5's got video too, right?
Oh yeah, video, and not that I use that, but and it's so light, and it's about the size of about 10 credit cards stacked. One on top of the other.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
I think it might even be smaller than that.
Yeah, that's, you know, the video thing is kind of an odd thing. I have to admit, I'm one of those people, too, that I've got the iPod, I've got an iPod Nano, they both have the nice video, nice screen. Very, very occasionally, I've thrown something on there, really only for the express purpose of, I got to try out the video on my iPod kind of thing.
Right.
Never really delved into it though. That, you know, maybe that should be the next poll. That'll be the January poll. Maybe is, you know, do you use the video on your
an excellent poll question.
And how?
The screens are so small. Well, what's nice about the fact that it's video capable is the screen is so much better.
Yeah.
Than, you know, for years I've been squinting at, you know, this is like my fourth MP3 player, and I've been squinting at god awful grayscale screens with an incredibly small font. You know, and I'm a little bit older guy, so, you know, I've been feeling kind of bad. This is a screen I could actually read quite comfortably.
Yeah. I think a lot of the newer ones now, the quality of the screens has really improved quite a lot. Like you mentioned, I mean, it's not that long ago that the iPod was, the gray screen with black lettering.
Right.
And, you know.
If you had a slight glare on it or bad light or whatever, you know, forget about it.
Yeah. These things just, they aren't just for young people anymore, you know.
That's right. You whippersnappers.
And, of course, you got video on the phone and all that. I've been playing with, on my Windows Mobile, I swapped the browser out from the built-in Windows Internet Explorer, whatever flavor that is, for Skyfire, which just came out of alpha and into beta. I had been part of the alpha program on it, but never was able to make it work with the Windows Mobile once I upgraded it to 6. So if you're excited about changing your browser and don't want to wait for Firefox, which supposedly Mozilla's got a mobile browser they're also dumping on the market here in a little while, you could hop right into Skyfire, and it's kind of cool. You know, you can, for the main thing for me is I can actually go and click through links. People do send me links to YouTube connections and things like that, and I can click through to those links and actually play the YouTube videos now, which I could not do on my phone previously. So so that's kind of cool. Just, of course, word of warning, it all uses bandwidth then, just like your desktop would, but probably not at the cheap
battery
rates.
Life.
The battery life as well.
I'd love to talk to you, but...
I'm
kind of ran the juice out of this sucker.
Just about dead,
watching pratfalls on YouTube. Yeah.
I have one Christmas story I'll share though too. Now, hopefully, I know the kids aren't listening, so I'm just going to share this anyways. I'm going to make sure that they don't listen to this episode. Actually, kids, Adam, Justin, if you guys are listening, you'll want to turn off the radio right about now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ruin some Christmas holiday
myths.
Myths too. Yeah, we had this situation where. My youngest son had gone to Santa Claus, and he had asked Santa Claus to bring him a Nintendo DS. But he didn't say, just get me a Nintendo DS. He said, I want a Nintendo DS for my brother and for me so that we can play games together.
Oh.
And, you know, just heartbreaking.
How does Santa resist something like that?
How can you resist that?
Yeah. And Santa brings his reindeer to a screeching halt and does a dive right for your house with a Nintendo DS, I bet.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what had happened, though, was we had this big debate internal to the house with my wife and I, because my oldest son had been saving for a long time to buy his own Nintendo DS. And I kind of took the stance of, you know what, he's been saving up money. I don't want to just all of a sudden
it's
Deus,
a conflict, yeah.
Yeah, Deus Ex Santa Claus,
right.
You know, here it comes.
Right. Responsible parenting versus the Christmas spirit and wanting to give them everything they want.
That's yeah. right. But yeah. then what broke it was when my son, Adam, my oldest son, was saying, oh, you know, I'm going to get a Nintendo DS and I'm going to buy blah, blah, blah on this. But he was worried about being able to buy games. But then my youngest son came to us and said, no, no, Adam, you don't have to buy it. I asked Santa. He's bringing us both one. And then you can use your money to buy games. And Adam said, oh, well, then I can buy games for you, too. And so as a parent, your heart just cracks wide open.
Give the kid a car.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Whatever he wants at that point.
So, yeah. Of course, this is all happening, you know, 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
And my wife runs out to the store. She's going all over. She goes to Toys R Us and Target and GameStop and all the nowhere. Everybody's out. And we're just, there's no way we can do it actually on Christmas Eve. We're too busy. All this stuff is happening. We even checked Walgreens, you know, just nobody.
Every possible resource.
So I came up with the idea, which if I had known how much work it was going to entail, I probably wouldn't have gone this direction. But we wrote a letter from Santa to the boys, and we actually got two Nintendo DS games, one for each of them, and wrapped the letter around it. And it just said, you know, well, it had a whole explanation about how Santa was so excited about the generous nature of our son asking for a Nintendo DS for each of them, that he forgot to find out what color they wanted. So here's two coupons for Nintendo DS, but you got to let Santa know what color you want. So this
and give him some time.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Santa's real busy.
Everyone's probably scratching their head. What the heck does this have to do with Tech Talk? We're listening to Tech Talk, aren't we? What technology relation does this have? Well, here's how it all ties in, is to create the coupons, of course, I went online and I just looked up, I did a Google on word template coupon holiday, something along those lines. Found some great
IOU,
holiday coupon.
A Santa IOU for the kid.
Yeah. Exactly. Kids. So we found some great template, coupon templates, no problem, easy to do. I've got some cool sites for the end of the day here that'll have some similar links like that. And so we gave them that, but I made the mistake at one point of calling it a coupon, and that there was a code, and I made some mention of this in the letter. I don't know. It was like, you know, 1 a.m. when we're writing this blasted thing.
Yeah.
And so my oldest son, of course, immediately is looking at this like, code, where do we put the code in? We're going to have to go. We got to put the code online and all this. And I'm like, oh, no. And I told my wife, I was like, well, I'll just
father, son.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I told my wife, I'm like, well, I'll just order it from him. I'll tell him I put it in. Oh, no. He's going to be so disappointed. He has to see this code going. So, all right. So I'm laying up in bed, fired up Dreamweaver, and I'm, you know. So now I've got this ASP page,
yeah.
Active Server Pages website that I'm creating for a one-shot deal. I Twittered it. If people are interested, you can go look at it and check it out. It didn't take me that long, but I'm somewhat proud of it. It looks very professional.
Yeah.
And you go in and you can...
So you made your own spoof page.
Made my own spoof page. It's the North Pole Coupon Redemption Center.
You little scammer. You. Oh, there you go. Very good.
It's
yeah.
the North Pole Coupon Redemption Center.
You might be onto something there,
and,
actually.
And you go...
That sounds like a great marketing... idea.
You know, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't get that last minute coupon, you instead give the kids a we'll print the coupons for you and all that, and then the only you know what? Actually, you've got my gears turning now, because what you do then is you sync it to an ad revenue site, and you know.
Or you could just charge. How much would a parent on Christmas Eve pay for an IOU, a Santa IOU for a kid?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking you don't even have to charge them, because as long as they order it through your site,
there you go.
You know, these Amazon, if you're an Amazon associate, you get between 4 to 6, 7%.
I think you're giving away a $1 million idea over the air.
There it is. You know, I may have to edit this out of the podcast.
Yeah,
anybody listening live, feel free to pick that up and run with it if you want. But... It all worked out great. Once they put in the correct code, then it would go to a page that asked them what color they wanted for each of the two, and then they would choose that and then click submit and went to a final, you know, thank you, please remember this is coming all the way from the North Pole and give Santa some time to deliver it.
And the reindeer have the flu.
Yeah. But the children were we get at least one more year of Santa belief out of them. So
Santa's in Hawaii with Barack Obama. My 2.5-year-old niece was just becoming cognizant of presents, and you could see it. It's like it really overwhelms her brain. Just the word, you know, present, present. She's just like nothing else. She doesn't hear anything else after present is said. You know, she just goes looks and, you know. So she was opening presents, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's the really the joy of the holidays is watching it through the kids. Yeah. And I think, you know, it took me until I was about 40, but now I finally get it that, you know, it's not about what I get.
Really? Took you till 40?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a slow learner, but I think it was this was the first year I finally looked around and said, you know what, I'm just excited for them. I honestly was. It's great. Cool. It's great. Having kids makes that change easier, though, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, hey, you know what? We should give Mr. Jay Garman a buzz here and see what's going on with him. I know we had a great Festivus question.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so I'm very excited to find out the answer to that. I also too was curious. I wanted to ask Jay about kind of some of the new stuff that's going on with him. He's got Third Space Media.
Hello.
Oh yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Garman. Hey. Merry Christmas.
Hey,
to you.
Fellas, how's it going?
Good.
Very good.
Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you. Always glad to be here.
Happy Festivus. Merry Christmas. Whatever it is that
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, you're sounding fantastic voice today.
Well, wow, this must be a really special connection then.
It's a Santa.
Truth be told, I have booked a flight on Air Benadryl, and I have achieved cruising altitude.
Excellent.
Good. In that case, the show is yours. We're going to go take a break.
There we go. I could use a nap myself, so I think that would be just fine. Oh, man. So we were just talking about the spirit of the holidays and I'm sure you're enjoying it too around your household with the it just makes such a difference with the children, you know.
I don't
even know how you would explain it to someone who doesn't have kids, just to see that look on their face and know that you, whatever it is that you put under the tree or put in their hands or wrapped a bow around, is what brought that look to their eyes and made that special thing happen.
I would compare it to the difference between watching football and playing football. Watching football, you can appreciate what's going on, enjoy it as a fan, but it's totally different when you're part of the game.
Yep. You know, I think that's probably a pretty good metaphor for parenting in general.
Yes.
I know I like to tell people that I was a far better parent before I had children. It was...
You too, huh?
Yeah. It wasn't until I actually had kids that I realized how incredibly difficult this whole thing was.
The abstraction and the application.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Oh, man.
There's a lot of scope creep involved in parenthood, too, that no one warned you about.
No. Well, yeah, and then especially too, once, at least with our family, whoever the youngest child is gets beyond sort of the whole diaper age, all of a sudden everybody forgets about how tough getting them out of diaper phase was, and now it's time for number two, number three, you know, and we've decided there's no number four already, but I can see that look in my wife's eyes, and it's a frightening thing.
I imagine. I've seen that look in my wife's eyes, and I think that our sequel is not terribly far on the horizon. I'm just trying to keep her held at bay at least until we get the current iteration out of diapers.
Yes.
Because I don't want to buy two sizes. That's just a thing I have. I don't want to buy two kinds of diapers because I know at some point I'll put the wrong diaper on the wrong child.
Oh, you know what though? After a while, you don't even you don't care. You know, I've had my boys running around in little pink pull-ups and you know, they don't know. I don't show them off to anyone, so it's fine. I don't think we've done any, at least not permanent psychological damage. I'm hoping that
nothing that less than a year of therapy is required. I consider that unpermanent damage.
Exactly. Exactly. So what did you get any really cool gadgets or fun tech toys? Was there a present that was your wow present this year? For you?
My wow present, and I will credit my wife with this. I have joked since the Nintendo Wii came out that it was secretly designed to create a great lightsaber dueling game, and she went and bought it. She got Clone Wars lightsaber duels and bought me the little attachments that physically turn your Wii remote into a lightsaber.
Oh, outstanding. Oh, man. I've been itching for that since I saw it came out. We have a Wii as well, and does it live up to how great it looks?
Well, here's the irony. I got that on Christmas Day, and all of our family obligations, I have not yet had time to play it.
Oh, no, no, Jay.
So it's still in the plastic. It's killing me.
You sound so excited, Jay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm itching to play this with every fiber of my being, but it's just today is the first day I have not had somewhere to be before 8 o'clock.
And
so, of course, this morning's all been laundry and straightening up the house.
And then us. And we're probably keeping you from
Oh no, my honeydew list is still 8 deep after this. You're a welcome respite.
Oh, okay. We actually are offering you a good excuse for those darn Tech Talk guys. You know that Kassler, he just wouldn't get off the phone.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun playing lightsabers on Benadryl.
I think I'll be able to feel the power of the Force, whether the game is on or not.
And you know, it enhances the trails. You can.
That's true.
You can see that. Well, I will expect a full review next week and probably to hear some updates on Twitter, which people can follow you at Jay Garman on Twitter when you start actually breaking into this. Like I said, I've been itching to get it. We just got my son a Nintendo DS, so I know a lot of the game playing excitement is going to go into that for a while. So it may be a while before I can convince anyone to get me a game. So
Bell, is you there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're just
a lull.
Like I said, I'm ready. I'm ready for a nap.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Hey, we were talking about last week. We were talking about Festivus and where Festivus came from. Now, Festivus does not have cool laser sword presence and Nintendo DS and tech presence, but it does have a lot of other kind of interesting stuff that goes on, like feats of strength and metal poles and all this. And most people know about it, of course, from Seinfeld. But you mentioned last week that, and this was our geek trivia question for the week, was that Festivus was not originated on Seinfeld.
That's correct. Festivus actually dates to 1966 and was created by Reader's Digest editor Dan O'Keefe.
Wow.
And he didn't create it for the magazine. He created it for his family. O'Keefe was something of an amateur sort of sociologist. He actually wrote a book called Stolen Lightning, which sort of examined various rituals and superstitions and the roles they play in society. And this guy, being a humorist, decided to sort of make up rituals and superstitions and try them out on his family. And he did for several years in succession. And how this ends up on Seinfeld is that his son, Daniel O'Keefe, became a scriptwriter for Seinfeld. And so when they're trying to think up a holiday episode in 1997, he's like, you guys won't believe this, but we have a screwy holiday we celebrate in our family called Festivus. And I can cherry pick the weirdest stuff my dad has ever made up, and we can put it in this episode. And they did. But the younger O'Keefe has written a book called The Real Festivus, which you can order from Amazon. Just look under Daniel O'Keefe, The Real Festivus, and it lists all the various crazy things his dad did, because basically whenever his dad needed an excuse to sort of torment his son psychologically, he created a festive celebration any time of the year for any reason.
Oh, it didn't have to be done at a certain time of the year. It could just happen any time.
Excellent. So the original Festivus was actually the nickname Daniel O'Keefe Sr. gave to the anniversary of his and his wife's first date.
Ah, okay.
And it just snowballed from there.
Okay, so it wasn't even really related to anything to do with the winter solstice or Christmas holiday times. It had to do with his first date.
Exactly.
Oh man, you know that's really that's kind of sick and Skinner-esque.
that's the best way I can think of it. Now, just to prove that the entirety of the Seinfeld episode wasn't stolen from just the O'Keefe family, you may recall from the episode, which was the strike, aired in December of 97, George. Part of the whole plot was that George Costanza was tired of giving Christmas gifts, so he made up a fake charity called the Human Fund.
Oh, yes.
And he just claimed to have made a donation in your name to the Human Fund as a gift, except that there is a real Human Fund that benefits at-risk youth in Cleveland. So if you're going to send Festivus greeting cards and talk about making a donation to the Human Fund, it's kind of a jerk move to not actually donate to the real Human Fund.
So, but if people are gonna, even that would be a very nice gesture, actually, is to give to the real Human Fund, and hopefully people would be in touch enough with the Seinfeld thing though to know what was going on.
Yeah. So that Seinfeld episode, as much of a fan of the show as you might be, they don't generate all of it from whole cloth. There are inspirations in real life for some of the crazy things they make up.
I guess after a childhood experience in a family like that, what would you wind up doing except hopefully spilling it out somewhere?
Inflicting the damage on others.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, that is, I had no idea. As usual, I just had absolutely no clue that there was this much going on with what seemed like just a beloved episode of a single TV show. And speaking of things going on, a lot of stuff going on. I wanted to have an opportunity to ask what is going on with you. There was a lot of talk I know on your blog about things with the startup just not working out, not happening. We had talked about that on the show a few times. And then you've got this whole new thing, Third Space Media, I think was the name you guys finally decided on. And tell us a little bit about that. What's going on?
Well, I and three of my insane internet addicted colleagues here in Louisville, Kentucky, are starting a consulting group called Third Space Media, which is, you know, you got to have some trendy, mysterious, catchy name, and that's the one we picked because we didn't think we could get away with the Justice League of social media, which was our first choice. But I'm pretty sure that there are some people at DC Comics who might have an issue with us doing business under that name.
Could be.
The reason we picked Third Space is because I'm a sociology major from back in the day, which is why I'm hard to employ. And the third space, or the third place, depending on who you ask, is the place that's not your work and not your home, where you sort of feel at home. Like, it could be a coffee shop, it could be an online forum, it could be a wacky radio show originating out of Chicago, where you just sort of go and sort of build community. Mm-hmm. And our consulting group sort of took that as a notion. And so it's not just online media. We do event planning and other sort of outreach things. And our joking catchphrase is we perform couples counseling between businesses and their customers to help you form a lasting, healthy relationship.
Excellent. So is there an SEO component to this?
There's some of that, but it's more community building. Quite frankly, we have a lot of some of us in this consultancy have done little one-off stuff where people will call us and say, what is the Facebook? I've heard of the Facebook. What is that? Or what is the Twitter? And should I be doing something? Somebody on the radio said I should be on the Twitter, and we'll go, okay, stop, slow down.
Yeah.
if you don't know what the Twitter is, you probably shouldn't just jump onto it. Let's explain this to you. Let's figure out where it fits into your business. Should you be on it? If you're going to be on it, should it be you or somebody else? And sort of help you get that aspect of your business figured out, because there's a whole lot of people who know that should be doing something online to reach out to their customers, and they really don't know what. And if they go to an advertising agency, they're just going to say, how about we just build you a 50 grand website using Flash?
Yep. No,
and that will do them no good.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, is that these new social media tools are, or can be anyways, extremely powerful ways to reach out. But you're right. I think a lot of people either don't know how to use them, or a lot of companies, I should say, don't know how to use them, or don't know how to use them effectively, or actually use them completely wrong. And, you know, we've seen some very negative or destructive results from improper use. Whole Foods, I think it was, the CEO of Whole Foods had gone on and made some legally questionable statements.
Yes.
Through I think it was on Facebook. I think he had updated his Facebook. It was on his blog. That was it. It was through his blog. Yeah. And having a guiding hand sounds like a fantastic idea. That seems like a very, very well timed thing.
Well, and I don't want to say that we're the enemy of the advertising agencies, because a lot of the agencies, at least here in town, know that they don't know how to do this. And so they've actually individually come to some of us, so we're going to reverse that and say, look, for a reasonable retainer fee, we'll be your on-call experts in this area. And by reasonable, I mean completely unreasonable.
Yes. Oh, of course. Well, now there's the three of you to support, you know, and
exactly.
It gets more and more difficult.
That sounds like a real need you found to address. It really sounds promising.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and we're going to hope it works out. But shameless plug, thinkthirdspace.com is our URL, and right now I think that's just a placeholder WordPress blog right now, but that's going to get updated. We technically, and this is probably more than I should share, but I believe in being social with my media, we aren't incorporated yet because we've been advised by several people to incorporate after the new year, so we're not filing, you know, a tax return for 2008 for like 8 days of being in business with no revenues.
Yeah.
So technically we won't exist until January 1st, but in spirit we are ready to serve you.
Yep. Well, I'll wait to put a link up to the site too. I did take a look and notice that there's no content yet. But as soon as there is, I'll put a link up for people, and people get a link in the newsletter. So that and I should mention, if you're looking for the newsletter, which has a lot of great information and links, and it's only sent out once a month now, just send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm. Or if you're getting irritated by it, then send an email and tell me you don't want it anymore. I'll turn it off.
Eventually, you'll get around to it.
Yeah,
that will send your email to a Nigerian spam artist.
That's right. You know, hey, just because you don't want something from me doesn't...
We're kidding.
No,
we're kidding.
I would never do that.
Definitely.
So,
now, you joke about that, but back when I worked for Tech Republic, we had people that would spam the forums, because they obviously haven't hired us as consultants. And the guys in the forums are very technically savvy, and they would track down the email address of the person who spammed them, track down the IP address using some nefarious means, and then sign them up for as many spam emails as they could, sort of as retaliation. So if nothing else, you need to hire my consultancy so people who read my newsletters don't find out who you are when you accidentally spam them and destroy your inbox.
That's right. The
geeks are vengeful and creative.
I have to admit that I have done that before in the past myself. When I was running a game server, and people would come on and cheat on the game server. It was a Counter-Strike server. There was a couple people that I got teed off enough that, not to do anything really seriously damaging, but yeah, I found out their actual
it's
email
not
addresses.
Serious if it's not done to you.
Well,
if it's done to you, it's serious.
It was an irritation. It was an annoyance.
Yeah.
I was contributing to the general annoyance factor and all that. But
you cyber bully you.
Yeah. It did. It was so satisfying though to sign them up for those the sexual drug listings and, you know, put them into a couple of these forums, and all of a sudden, that's it. So, well, that is cool.
Remind me never to get on your bad side.
Oh, I'm much better now. Now that the drugs have been balanced for me, I've got my meds all at the right level, and I'm okay. I don't do these types of things anymore. What I found is that, of course, people can get upset about these things, but.
Very.
Yeah.
Especially when they have foolishly signed up to these game servers or online communities using their work address. So they have to explain these newsletter signups to their IT manager.
Oh, yes. Yeah, one of the places I worked at was a school district, and we had one guy. I won't even mention what his position was. He was up in, not a teacher, though. He was above that level, and was getting a lot of questionable emails, a lot of questionable sites showing up on his our logs of his website, and always was like, oh, I don't know how that happened.
Oh, yeah.
I must have clicked through the wrong link or something. And after a certain point, you say, well, this is the third computer we've switched you and also changed your email twice. You keep going back to those same bad links, don't you?
So. I guess, free trial is just irresistible to this guy. Regardless of what he's trying out, is free.
Yes, exactly. Well, hey, we'll keep an eye on Third Space Media and keep people informed on that. I'm very interested to hear how that goes. Honestly, I think that's got a better game plan and already a better concept than where you were before. We won't even mention the name, but the old place, which did not do so well, I think this has got some more legs under it. But we should move into a good question for people to cogitate upon for this coming week.
What's the
cogitation sensation? Well, this being the time of year we all get new video games, I'm going to ask a classic video game question. What was the first coin-operated video arcade game? Now, if you look not too hard, a lot of sources are going to tell you it's Pong.
Yeah.
It's not Pong. This predates Pong.
Wow.
Interesting. Now
I should know this.
Now I think I do know the answer to this, but that it's only through an odd set of circumstances that I was exposed to this answer. I'm curious to find out if I'm right. I'm not going to say what I think it is, but I'm curious to find out if I'm right next week. Interesting. The very first coin-op game. Now
coin-op video game.
Yeah. Yep. Now that's actually something too that I'd be somewhat curious to find out, and I may do some research on this week, is to see what is the outlook for coin-op games in general.
They can't
be doing too well.
No, they're not.
But you see them. You see arcades still.
Not as many.
Yeah. But
mostly you see video games at other, like at movie theaters. That's the only place I see them anymore,
right,
is in movie theaters.
Yeah.
We have a really cool arcade. It's not real close to here. It's out in Waukegan, and it's where I take my guitar lessons. It's right next door to it, and it's called Nickel City. Give a free. I'm looking for they used to have a little bell around here. Ding. You get a little free plug. But Nickel City, it's great. You pay $2 cover, and then every game in there is. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Jeff Davis of all the hits. Got me all set up. I don't know if you hear that or not. But but you pay $2 cover, and then all the games have been converted to nickels. And
nice.
Oh, it's great. I can take the kids in there, and we will blow hours. And for less than $10, $20, something like that.
Yeah.
And you wind up. And they've got.
You can wind up bleary eyed and.
Oh yeah, it's all the old games. It's like Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, but then they've got newer games too, and some of those might cost you, four nickels or something, because they've just converted it.
Yeah.
But they also have the ticket generation games where you get the tickets and then you can trade them in at the end for toys.
Do you remember a really old school video game where you ran people over and they banned it? It's like
there was Death Race.
That sounds like it. Whereas like little stick figures running around, you ran the people over and they screamed when you hit them with the car.
I think that was Death Race. I think that was Death Race.
Yeah, that sounds like Death Race.
Yeah. They updated the original movie and they made it into the video game Death Race. And then it got banned for violence.
It was super rudimentary. It was very, very basic. But I like that.
So
game
was the video
much.
Game.
Yeah. Well, the same thing was what happened to I can't remember the name of the game, but it was called like Outlaw or Cowboy or something like this, and it was or Wild West, and it was two stick figures, one on each side of the screen.
You shot each other, right?
And you had to shoot each other, There would be a covered Conestoga wagon in between you. Yeah. And
I like both of those way too much.
I think that one also had troubles. Well, yeah. we should let Jay get back to laundry and folding and and all the other good stuff. I'd warned Jay that we had absolutely nothing on tap for today, so we were gonna hit him up for some extra time.
Well, then I guess you guys need to start Googling Death Race, which from my cursory search here and from my computer came out in 1976 from Exidy and was one of the first highly controversial video games. It was based on the cult 1975 film Death Race 2000.
Yep.
And it was resurrected in 1997 as the video game Carmageddon.
Yes. I remember playing Carmageddon too.
I never played that one.
Yeah. Which wasn't actually as good, I don't think. But of course could just be my fond memories of playing.
Right, and at that point we would have gone for almost anything, any video game.
Oh yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So, and once they added color.
In my youth, I played video games where you assembled hamburgers, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. Burger Time.
Yep, and I remember Tapper, too. And
Yes, Tapper, which was it later became Root Beer Tapper, I think.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Because it was never said that you were tapping beer in the original. It was implied, and they had to switch that. So it was very clear the kids were playing a root beer game.
Oh yeah, because it was on the Apple IIe. You could play that as well. I remember. Well, hey, I'm gonna let you go, Jay. We got to play some spots and ads and all the other good stuff that occasionally keeps the doors open here. And
thanks so much for your extra time today, Jay.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Glad to do it, fellas.
I guess you guys
have a happy new year.
Yes, you too, and good luck with the new venture. We'll talk to you. This is the last show of the year, so we'll talk to you next year.
All right, see you in 2009.
Take care, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
All right.
Bye. It's great to spend a little extra time with him today.
Absolutely, yeah. I missed the opportunity. I think we get sort of...
We get kind of busy sometimes.
We get busy, and we get... I think we get... I don't know what the word is, but used to just having him around and not really appreciative of just the wealth of information and things that he does have on in his life.
A raconteur and font of information.
Just a huge amount of stuff.
And he puts it in such an entertaining way.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
It's always exciting to have Jay on. We are going to switch now to listen to some spots, our legal IDs, all the other great stuff. You are listening to Tech Talk, and we're going to be back right after this. We'll do, of course, our cool sites of the week. I think we're also going to do maybe a couple of year-end what was our favorite things of the year. So stay tuned to us, and be back at you in about 2 minutes.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Correct Roofing and Construction has over 30 years' experience in all your roofing, siding, skylight, gutter, and snowplow needs. Correct is family-owned and operated, insured, licensed, and bonded, and a member of the Better Business Bureau. For more information or to request an estimate, their phone number is 847-740-2450. That's 847-740-2450 for Correct Roofing and Construction. Located at 314 East Nipissing in Round Lake. Remember, if your roof is a wreck, we're correct.
The Lake County Journals cover what matters most to you. Local news, sports, weather, and entertainment are in print each week and updated often online at lakecountyjournals.com. You can look to both to find out more about your community and your neighbors. At lakecountyjournals.com, there are interactive videos and photo galleries, or even a place to post your comment about a story. Lake County Journals and lakecountyjournals.com, your life connected.
All the hits.
All the hits.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis.
And Zane Adams, inviting you to join us every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock as we listen to all the hits, the greatest rock and roll hits of three decades.
The 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we remember Chicagoland's two great top 40 radio stations that brought you all those hits. The Big 89 WLS.
And Big 10 Super CFL.
Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock, it's all the hits right here, 98.3 WRLR.
All the hits.
All the hits.
All right.
What smells like food? What is that?
Something smells real good. Yeah. You know, I see a KFC cup over there. So somebody did some early... Zane.
Sounds like Zane running some...
Yep. Yes,
hey, you know
did.
What happened? The snow melted. Okay, boost up my gain a little bit there.
Yeah.
The
go.
Snow melted next door, and there's a bunch of beer cans under the snow.
So, oh,
I don't know where they're not anywhere near our building. So
well, that's where the police station is.
Yeah.
So I guess they've switched from donuts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No offense, actually
get us in trouble with the local gendarmes.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? Shouts out though to the local PD.
Chief Don Johnson is great. Yeah, he's
absolutely.
Just a fantastic guy.
How could
guy.
You not be? You know, you got
a benevolent spirit.
You got. We have got the most famous sounding police force.
Yeah. There you go.
You've got police chief. Don Johnson yeah. right there. My good friend, Officer Matlock, also is with us. And
the other guy's nickname is Hulk Hogan.
I didn't know that. Yeah, oh, yeah, my God. It gets even better.
He looks a lot like him. I can't remember his real name now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, hey, we've got about 10 minutes left before Jeff Davis is going to start yelling at us to get off because they've got all the hits coming up, which is great. You're listening to Tech Talk. Let's do some... A little bit of, we should do the end of the year kind of thing and get that going. Now, MSNBC has got their pick of the cool sites of the year. I'm going to play a little bit from what they had to talk about.
Topping the list, a way to forget your troubles. The coolest video game of the year had to be Rock Band. Bringing families, friends, and other wannabe rock stars together to jam. On a smaller scale, we've already saluted the iPhone, but in 2008, the smartphone is built in. So let's salute the apps. Whether free or for a small fee, you can bowl, golf, check your financial situation, just about anything you can think of from the comfort of your own phone. Speaking of your finances, here's a cool way to keep yours in check. Mint.com. When most of us are turning away from ugly investment numbers, this Silicon Valley company offers a, dare we say it, fun way to stay on top of your bottom line. And for coolest movie, you can have your superheroes, but here's one vote for a humble robot, Wall-E. Fun, fresh, and complete with jaw-dropping special effects. From Pixar.
All right. Well, yeah, like I said, that was MSNBC's picks anyways. I don't know if that would match people's picks. Certainly, they kind of hit some of the top ones. Wired also did a pretty neat little rundown of what their picks were for the year. I liked Wired's picks in general better.
Wired's usually on top of stuff, you know.
You know, the thing that's kind of, and maybe it's just because I'm not an Apple fanboy, is that it seems like everywhere you look for top 10, given, you know, the iPhone's going to be up there on the top 10, it's a great product and it had a huge impact upon the market. No problem with that. But the thing like Wired, their top pick for top technology of the year was the Apple iPhone App Store. And,
right. Yeah.
You know, come on. You've had the Palm App Store for, 25 years, however long Palm's been around. As soon as the internet was available, there's been app stores available on there. So I'm not sure what exactly it is that they're saying is like, oh, the best, coolest.
It's the quality of the apps, I think.
Well, you know, maybe that's it. The other thing, too, is it's questionable is that, of course, they're restricting the apps that are available in there. You know, and there was a great article actually on, I think it was on TechCrunch. I can't swear to that, but where they were showing the Google apps and the top 10 Google apps that you can't get for the iPhone, for the Google Android phone. And things like being able to record a ringtone, right from your phone immediately, you know, things like that. Very cool stuff. But Wired did have some great, so I just, that's just my personal little doodad. But Wired had some great stuff like flexible displays, edible chips, the mem resistor. The mem resistor is very cool. Mem resistor, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, we're not going to see anything coming from it for probably close to 10 years, but I think that's what they were saying in there. But it is a chip that will have its own memory in it, and so when you turn the power off, it won't lose where it's at, its state, basically. It can save the state. And so when you fire it back up, there's no boot up time. It's just however long it takes to, you know, get the electrons flowing. That's how long it'll take to get your machine booted up.
So it's like a non-volatile addition to a volatile chip.
I don't know how it works. You're beyond me already.
It sounds cool.
You have to remember, I'm not all that bright.
I wouldn't say that at all. It sounds like a hybrid chip. It sounds like a combination of RAM and SSD or something.
Yeah, it's called a memory transistor, which joins the three other widely known elements, the capacitor, the resistor, and the inductor. And so it's actually
a new physical
component, not related to RAM or DRAM, dynamic random access memory. It's not related to the DRAM and RAM stuff. It's an actual physical piece. So I hesitate to say much more about it just because I don't understand it that well.
Maybe next week.
But some very cool stuff. Yeah.
As if we survive the flood that's coming.
Well, next week.
Rain is coming down.
Next week. I should mention, actually, we are going to, if you've been wondering, why do I keep listening to this show? Next week, you're going to want to definitely tune in. We've got, we're going to have Yahoo is going to come on, and they're going to talk to us about the tech outlook for next year, the hot tech to be aware of in 2009. So this isn't stuff like a mem resistor that's not going to be doing anything for 4 years. This is something that you can look at to happen in the next year. I don't know if they're going to talk about the iPhone Nano. I know that's big news right now, and and there's knockoffs of that all over the place. Who knows what they'll talk about? I don't even know. I told them if they can't give me a link ahead of time, they're just going to have to put up with us flying by the seat of our pants. But if they listen to the show, they...
What's new about that?
Exactly. So I like to describe that as organic.
We're
very organic. Right.
Spontaneous.
Jesse,
the excitement of a spontaneous outburst.
That's right. I think Jesse...
Extemporaneous.
Jesse Thorne and those guys would call it part of the new sincerity. Is we're trying to join in into part of the new sincerity. So so you want to tune in for that. Perry Aftab, who we had on last week, has agreed that she will come back on with the Chicago security expert that they have, who's also a parent and a mother, and they're going to talk to us about some of the cool stuff happening. That's going to happen in the next few weeks.
She was amazing.
Oh, she was great. And it was a great episode for us to listen and have the fixers, Stephanie Zimmerman, the fixer from the Chicago Sun-Times, on here with her pick of the cool sites, because she liked the show enough that she's agreed she's also, too, going to do a spot with us. So we may have her as a kind of a somewhat regular, like Mark Beer, who will also be back with us in January, too. And I'll be putting all of this information, what you can expect to see.
Poor Jay Garman's going to get...
No,
time's going to get trimmed a little bit.
Well, we won't have time to do days like we had today, perhaps. That is often than January, which is why I wanted to take that time with them. But we will have some great shows. And I'm going to give us some cool sites of the week, and then we'll get out of there. Now, Jazzler's dead on me here, which is what plays our spots. So I'm going to have to play this with...
We've been waiting for that to happen to the tech guy.
And again, see, I like throwing around that interstitial word, because I'm not going to be able to play our interstitial music now. Now, see,
Jazzler's on computer, too, as well, I think.
Oh, but probably not.
Probably not
my
not
bytes.
There, yeah.
My bits and bytes are all over on computer one. Yeah. So cool sites. how does the tune even go? I don't know. Yeah, cool sites of the week, and as always, they're free cool sites of the week. The two that I would like to pick for us this week have to do with somewhat for the new year. One thing that I found and have been really enjoying, for oddly, it just seems like a strange thing to be excited about, but I have been, is you can get a calendar printing assistant for Outlook, and for Outlook 2007. And now this will allow you to print out weekly, monthly, daily. It's, you
wow.
know, you can already do that in Outlook, and you're you may be thinking to yourself, well, why? What do I need extra for
better,
this?
Better format?
Much, much better format. Oh, yes. This is from Microsoft, and it's what they should have built it in originally and didn't. And you can run this. You run it as a separate app, though, and it connects with your Outlook calendars. You can print from multiple calendars that you've got connected, which I do, many, many different formats, you know, print it out into booklet styles, however you want it. You can do the whole year, this kind of thing. So it's really good, especially as we're starting the new year and you want to get a little bit organized, to print these calendars out. Go check that out. It's at Microsoft.com, downloads, and then just go find it. Calendar printing assistant for Outlook 2007. I'll put the link. You'll be getting the new January newsletter pretty soon here, or send me an email at techtalk@wrlr.fm. And we'll hook you up. Another similar type of idea for the new year, getting into the new year, Xerox actually has got some very cool templates. You know, I was talking earlier my story about templates, and that was one of the places that I went and looked. When I did a search, I ran across this. Is Xerox, of course, what do they sell? They sell printers, they sell copiers, they sell color copiers. They're wanting you to use these. They have a tremendous amount of professionally created, really good-looking, colorful templates for holidays, for events, for calendars, for organization, for anything that you'd want to do. It's all set and ready to go, and you just go right on there. Go to office.xerox.com, and I've been looking in the small hyphen business hyphen templates location, and just cool stuff. But again, do a search on it, or wait for the newsletter, or even better yet, you know what you can do? Go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, go under the show, and we've got a place there where you can see all the cool links, all the news stories that we've been doing. Everything is all linked in there, and you can even sign up to it for an RSS feed and knock yourself out. I want to say, I just wanted to give my top three. I don't know if Dave's got any picked up, but I tried to think, and he doesn't have any, so this will be quick. This is great. If you're looking for something for the new year to help you get organized or anything else, I just wanted to say my top three picks. I went back over this last year, and the three, you know, we do cool sites every week. We do, what, two, three, four cool sites every single week. We got those coming out. The ones that I use over and over and over again, hold on a second here. We got planes flying through here. I don't know what's going on. This is a highly professionally produced. But the three things that I keep coming back to, I use them every single day. These are not ones that I use once in a blue moon. This is every single day I use these. Taglocity. Taglocity.com. Check that out. It's for Outlook. They've got a free version. There's a paid version. We have the CEO on. You'll remember him. Tripit. Tripit.com. Also now, Taglocity is the one that lets you organize your email. Tripit organizes all of your trips, whether they be business, vacation, whatever. You can pound everything in there. It's easy, easy, easy to set up, and it's great. I use it every single trip that I make. And again, another person, too, that we had on the show, you could certainly give them a call and ask them. Remember the Milk. That's my my last one here I'm going to give.
Remember the Milk.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That will organize you, get you organized in every single way in your life, and I use it. Like I said, I use it every single day. So another cool side of the year that we had for this year, and we did not talk to anybody from them, though. And that's about it. I think what we're going to have to do is just kind of call it a week. We've got the podcast only song of the week. I think this week I'm going to give you Cigarette Girl from the Future, which is by Beauty Pill. We'll be able to play a little bit of that. That's clean enough for
I'll take your word for it.
For on the air listeners. And right after us, of course, is going to be Jeff Davis.
All the hits.
Zane Adams.
Yeah.
So stick around, stay tuned, and we'll be back at you in
another year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Be safe, have fun.
Absolutely.
The boys and I have fixed up a session of dance music for you. and we hope you like it.
Of the listless proxy for us.